Parshas Vayishlach, we have a well-known machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban as to the parameters of the requirement of din for Bnei Noach. The Rambam writes in the end of the ninth parak of Hilchos Melachim, parak Tes Halachi Yedalet, first page of the Marmor Gamos, Keitza Mitzuvin Hein Al Adinim, how is it that a Bnei Noach is Mitzuva on din? Chayavin Lahoshiv Dayan and Veshovtim Chol Plach Plach, so they have an obligation to establish a system of Dayanim in every geographic area, Ladin B'Shesh Mitzvah Seilu. So they have to have Batei Din that can deal with the other Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. U'lahazir Asa'am, U'b'nai Noach Sha'avar Al-Achas Mishav Mitzvahs Eilu Yehar B'Sayif. U'b'nai Zen Nishchai B'kol Bali Shkem Hariga. Sharei Shkem Gazel V'Heim Ra'u V'yadu V'lo Danu. So the reason, says the Rambam, that the residents of Shechem were essentially Chayim Nisa, was because they witnessed a violation of Gezel, and they didn't fulfill the obligation of Din in meeting out punishment, judgment and punishment for the violators of Gezel. So according to the Rambam, there is a Din of Din for Bnei Noach that could result in a Chayim Nisa, not only for the Chayim Nisa that the Bnei did have to meet out, but if the Bnei Noach don't step up and execute the din that they're supposed to execute, so they collectively could be chayiv misa for not following the requirement of din. The Ramban takes issue with this in his Perush Al Torah, the second page, Perek Lamed Dalet Pasuk Yud Gimel. We have a little arrow there. The Ramban writes, many ask a question, how is it that Shimon and Levi killed what seems on some level to be innocent blood? So he quotes the Rambam's answer, and he disagrees. V'ein dvarm halalu nechonim be'einai. It's about 6 or 7 lines after the arrow. She'im kein haya Yaakov v'minu chayiv liyaz kodem v'zochem v'misasa. If, in fact, they were chayav v'misa for not fulfilling the requirement of din for b'nei Noach, so Yaakov v'in himself should have taken the initiative. V'impachan mehem lama kas al banav v'arapam acher kam azmanim. And even if you'll tell me that Yaakov didn't take the initiative because he was concerned for safety, but at least he should have criticized Shimon v'Levi. V'aldati hadinin shaman luvnei Noach v'shev ha-mitzvah shalhem eidam l'hoshiv dayanim l'chol plach l'plach l'vat. The Ramban himself says, the parameters of din for b'nei Noach is not simply having dayanim in every locality. Aval siva sam bedine geneva ve'ona'a ve'oshech v'schar sachir v'dine yashomrim ve'ones v'mefatav avos nezikin v'cholo v'chadeiro v'dine malva v'lova v'dine mekha chumemkar v'chayote behen. They're obligated to enforce din in all these various types of situations well beyond Gezel. Along the lines of the kind of judicial system, the Nezikin system, that Klal Yisrael has.
So should Goyim be the judges for Goyim?
But they have to judge well beyond Gezel. They have to judge this whole gamut of situations. So they have the obligation of having a system. But if they don't have that system, they're not chayim misa for not putting together the judicial system, because that's only mitzvah saseh, and the sarasan zoi misasan only applies to lo saseh, to violating isurim, not to a bitul aseh. So they do have an obligation. They have a very broad obligation to be done a whole gamut of situations, but failure to do so itself is not grounds for chayiv misa for b'nei Noach. And then the Ramban goes on to say that when it comes to Shechem, they were chayiv misa because it was a situation. The reason that Shimon and Levi killed them was because there was a form of justifiable nekama, but not because of a si'if in Hilchos B'nei Noach. So what we have over here is a fundamental machlokas the Rambam and the Ramban. Number one, is there a chiyuv misa for the lack of establishing a judicial system for B'nai Noach? According to the Rambam, yes. According to the Rambam, no, it's a bitul asay, but there's no chiyuv misa associated with it. And also, the Rambam seems to limit the requirement of din to being done on the specific Mrs. B'nai Noach, the other six, and the Ramban has a much more expansive understanding that it applies to much larger, expanded gamut of halachos. Now, it's generally mekubal to explain within the machlokas, the Ramban, and the Rambam, another layer, that according to the Ramban, the parameters of din for B'nai Noach mirror that of Yisrael. that Bnei Noach have, it's very much mashma that way in that line of the Ramban, where he wrote, Ki'inyan adinim shenistavu Yisrael, that the basis for the whole system of din for Bnei Noach mirrors that of Yisrael in many of the details, whereas according to the Rambam, you don't have any evidence of that at all. It's not beferish in the Ramban. There's the Shuvas Chasim Sofer, Chelek Vav Likutim Simen Yudalit, Chelek Vav Likutim Simen Yudalit, where the Chasim Sofer argues that no, fundamentally the Rambam could agree to the Ramban that there is a requirement to be done a whole gamut of dinim mirroring that of Yisrael. The Machlokas is whether that's included within Gezel or not. According to the Rambam, maybe Gezel is really a broad category that includes other interpersonal Choshe Mishpat type dinim as well, according to the Ramban, not. But fundamentally, the Chasim Sofer argues that they may agree in principle of the broader scope of Mrs. Din for Bnei Noach, but most Achronim assume that there is a more fundamental Malchokas, that the Rambam has a much more limited view as to what the parameters of Din for Bnei Noach are, and the Ramban has a more expansive view. So that's definitely true in the Rambam, it seems. Questionable.
How would they know what to keep, right?
So it could be, and that's what maybe Mashmah Ramban, that they have to look to Shulchan Aruch.
Can that be?
That could definitely be. Mm-hmm. That's what he points out over here, and the Sefer told us Noach. Kisser Sefer Hilchas B'nai Noach, Revel Yahu Baracha, Tafshin Ayin Beis Yerushalayim. About, over 15 years ago, I went to a conference in Cardoza on Noahide Law, where Rabbi Bleich spoke, and Rabbi Yoel Schwartz, and I think Professor Rackover from Bar-Ilan. So Rabbi Bleich got up, and he said, as a rabbi, I often get shilas, and when I get a shilas, even if I don't know the answer myself, I know where to look it up. When it comes to Hilchas B'nai Noach, and I get a shilas from a Noahide, I don't have that Shulchan Aruch, so I don't know where to look up the answer. So since then, this Sefer has been published. I don't know if Rabbi Bleich likes it, but it's an 800-page volume on Hilchas B'nei Noach. So he points out over here that it should follow according to the Ramban. We generally assume, we've discussed this here in the past, that there is an Issur Talmud Torah for B'nei Noach. But there is a dispensation that B'nei Noach are allowed to learn that which is relevant to them in their day-to-day life. So he argues that it should come out according to the Ramban that Bnei Noach will be able to learn Seder Nezikin, because most of Bava Kamba, of Messiah Bava Basra, all the Chosh Mishpat Halachos would be relevant to Bnei Noach if their judicial system has to mirror ours. And he says, Lo Matsinu, such a dispensation, Mishpatim Baidum, we don't seem to find that Bnei Noach are allowed to learn Seder Nezikin. Rav Schechter pointed out in a Chadami, in the context of the Shaila, whether a conversion candidate can learn Daf Yomi, which we would normally assume would be a violation of the Issur Talmud Torah, and there's no dispensation like most Achronim that if it's something they need to know how to do, that they're allowed to learn. So you'd assume that a conversion candidate can't learn Daf Yomi. Most of them aren't capable of learning Daf Yomi. We've had over the years a couple of people who had questionable conversions in the past, but were basically learning Daf Yomi. So Rav Schechter pointed out that Nezikin is not a problem. They can learn Bava Kamba, Bava Metzia. So now we're near the end. We get the culture, we'll have a problem. But that may be dependent on this Ramban. Whether or not it's Machlokas Ramban and the Rambam, what the parameters are, the Tshuva Sarama assumes that it's a Machlokas Achronim. The famous Tshuva Sarama will talk about more length in a few moments in terms of the context, but in Tshuva Sarama Simen Yud, he points out the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Nun Vav Amud Beis, the third page of the Marmar Kamos, where the Gemara has the Machlokas, how we learn, how we derive the various mitzvos B'nei Noach. So the Gemara has about 15 lines down. Menahani Mili. So what are the sources for these mitzvahs B'nei Noach? Amr B'Yitzchak, Da'amr Kra, Vayitzav Hashem Elokim Al Adam Le'mor Mikol Eitz Hagan Achol Tocheil, Vayitzav Elu Hadinim. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, he learns out the requirement of din from the pasuk of Vayitzav, Vayadam Harisha, and then skip down a few lines, Ki Asar Rabbi Yitzchak Tani Ipcha, Vayitzav Zuvar Zara Elokim Zedinim. So the Rama points out, if you're learning out from Vayitzav, you're learning out from Adam HaRishon, So then all you know is that the parameters of din are based on Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, because there's no Torah yet to speak of. If you're learning out from Elohim, which is possible by Mamet Har Sinai, so then it could be that the requirement of din is more expansive. It mirrors the dinim that we have in the Torah that was given to Klal Yisrael. So the Ramah thinks that this machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yitzchak, may be a machlokas about whether the source is from Kodem Matan Torah, Amatan Torah, so that may be the same machlokas as whether B'nai Noach or Mitzvah and Dinim on a more expansive level that includes the general principles of din that we have in the Torah, or is it limited to being done on Mitzvahs B'nai Noach? That's the Ramah's suggestion based on this Gemara in Sanhedrin. Now, the context of the Ramah was a tshuva regarding his cousin, the Maran Padua, the famous situation where the Maran Padua had commissioned the printing of a new edition of the Rambam together with his Hagos, and he invested a certain amount of money in it, and he commissioned one of the prominent printers in Italy at the time to print this version of the Rambam. And then another competitor to this printer, who was jealous that the Maran Padua hadn't hired him, took the same layout, and he reprinted the Rambam himself at a lower cost without the Maran Padua Sagos, and he tried to undercut the Maran Padua. So this Shaila came in front of the Ramah. When Rav Schechter quotes the Tshuva, he points out that it's curious that the Ramah didn't mention the Tshuva that he was related to the Maran Padua, be that as it may. So that's the issue that the Ramah was dealing with. There's just an article in Hamodiyah a couple weeks ago about this very issue, and I made a copy of the picture they had of the Sharblots of the two competing versions of the Rambam at the time.
How were they related?
They were cousins. I'm not sure exactly.
They lived in the same time.
They lived in the same time. They're contemporaries. That's why the Rambam is writing to the Maran Padua. The Maran Padua was in Padua, which is in Italy. The Rambam was in Krakow. But apparently they were able to send letters even back then. So there is a correspondence. So the Ramah writes, in analyzing this question, so his whole introduction is establishing that we assume, like what he says in Shitas Reb Yitzchak, he isn't really nachas to this is Machlokas Ram and the Ramban, but he assumes this is Machlokas Amiram, and he demonstrates the whole Shach Mitar, the Gemara here in Sanhedrin, is like Reb Yitzchak, so that must be an indication that we assume like Reb Yitzchak, who he interprets to hold, that B'nai Noach are bound by the general parameters of Din of Israel. So his introduction here is to establish that whatever would be true for Din of Israel would be true for B'nai Noach, and therefore we could hold the non-Jewish publishers to the same standards that we'd hold ourselves as far as what's appropriate under these circumstances. So after he has that Akdama, then he can analyze, he has four different Yesodos to explain why the other publisher was wrong, and why he's able to recommend or strongly enforce that no Jew should buy the competitive version of the Rambam. So he writes in that analysis as follows. So before he explains everything, he writes that the history of the situation. And then, din hu im agon shehu yimkor svar vishona. So the din is that the gon, my cousin, is allowed to sell his farm first. The whole of Anoseinu Sharabu Enya Dem Tekiva Lasas Kefitar Seinu. So we don't have the ability of enforcing this and penalizing the other publisher. Mikamakam Lo Naniach Es Shalanu VeLomar Shakol Yisrael Umisha V'Shem Yisrael Yichuna Lo Yechna Shem Sefer Maimoni Achadoshim Rach Miosan Yosam Mitachas Yad Agonanal. Oh, by Koch. So we have the right to declare that no Jew is allowed to buy Sifrei Rama from the competitor. They can only buy the edition of the Maran Padua. And he says there are four reasons, four Yesodos, to back up his psak. So Yesod number one is based on the sugya in Lo Yachpor, Bava Basra Daf Kaf Aleph Amid Beis. That's the sugya of Yori L'Sochem Nasa Shel Chaveiro. So we colloquially refer to this usually as Hasagas Gvul. Hasagas Gvul is not the most accurate term. It's really the sugya of Yori L'Sochem Nasa Shel Chaveiro, if a person interferes with the business of someone else who was established first. So under what circumstances does Bezin have the right to enforce the monopoly or the right of the first person to come into the business to not have competition? So that's the machlokas between Rav Huna and Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua here in Bava Basra Kaf Aleph Amid Beis. How broad or how narrow is our ability to enforce this din of Yoril Sachem Nasir Shachaver and Shachan Aruch, we passing like the more limited position of Rav Huna Brei the Rav Yeshua, that only in a situation in which the competitor is from a different town and he's not paying taxes locally, do we have the right to enforce the exclusive of the first proprietor. However, the Ramah here, interestingly, the assumption that the Ramah makes here in the Tshuva is not reflected in the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch. He does have this in Darkei Moshe, but not in Shulchan Aruch. He quotes the Raviyah, the Asaf, who says that even though there's Machlok as Rav Huna Brei the Yeshua, everyone would agree in the following situation that there's a problem of Yerul Sachem Nasa Shalom Rishus being Aser. That if you have a Mavi Sosim, you have a dead end, and you have one existing business deep into the dead end, at the end of the cul-de-sac, and then someone opens a competing business at the beginning of the dead end. So anyone who passes through is going to see the first store before they can get to the second store, which is all the way to the end of the road, and there's no other way of accessing that store. So there, the Asaf says, in that situation, that's a violation of Yerul Sachem Nasa Shachavero, and you have the right to close down the new business that opened at the entrance to the dead end. So machlokas whether that of the Asaf is going only with the Hilchasa, or is that only with the position of Rav Huna that we don't assume like. So the Ramah here, not like the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch, assumes that this of the Asaf is a Kuli Alma, and in the situation of a Mavei Sasim, if someone opens the business at the entrance to the dead end, then that's a violation of the Yerusachim Nasa Shachavero. Maybe at some point in the future we'll talk about this sugya in its own context, but in light of that, he writes the following, that his situation is analogous to a Mavei Sasim, because the second publisher, Nasan Lahachris Chokol Sefer Yozil Zahav Tvei Me'agon, so the second publisher said that he's going to undercut the first publisher, he'll sell it for one golden coin less. Umira Azos V'lo Yavu Elav L'Kasimenu, so who's not going to go for the cheaper price? The Yachalul Hozil Kihum Yashay Yoris, he has the ability to do that because he's very rich anyway, so he doesn't need the Parnasa. So there are many things that this is analogous to the case of Mavi Sasim. Mavi Sasim, there's a physical impediment to accessing the store because there's a competitive store on your way to the old store. And here, it's not a physical impediment, but it's a financial impediment that no one's going to buy the more expensive version if you could buy a cheaper version. So that's a chiddush, whether that extension is necessarily correct. The Chasen Sofer has a slightly different twist on this. Chasen Sofer is in Tshuva Chelek Vav. Chelek Choshen Mishpat Siman Ayin Tes. The Chasen Sofer says, the way the publishing business worked in the 1400s and 1500s was in order to be profitable, you had to sell a lot of svarim. So the market is opposed to a grocery store, where the market for the grocery store is that little part of town. But the market for svarim is all of Europe. So if you're not going to sell a lot of svarim, it's not worth it to publish. So he argues that within this position of the Raviyah, it could be that in this kind of situation, all of Europe is to say Mavi Sasim, because that is the market for these farim, and if you don't have an exclusive on selling this farim, it's not going to be profitable, and then we're not going to be in a position to continue publishing farim if no one's going to make money off it. That's the Chasen Sofer's extension. That's Ramah's first argument over here, that this is analogous to the Mavi Sasim of the Raviyah, and therefore, if it's a situation where the Maran Pada was not going to sell any farim because the other guy's undercutting him, then that's a violation of Yerul Sachem Nasa Shachavero, and the Bezdin and the Ramah has the right to declare that no one's able to buy from the competitor. His second argument is the following. Look at the next page of the Mar Makomos, Bava Basra Kaf Beis Amud Aleph, the next Amud. There, the Gemara has the following line. It's even with Tosfos Divrei Maskil Ana. Ravdimi Minaharda, I see grogros besvina. Ravdimi Minaharda was transporting dried figs in a boat. Amalei Veshkalusa Larava Pokhazi Itzurva Meirabanan, who goes see if he's a Tamachacham, if he's a young Tamachacham, Nakat Le Shuka. What does it mean, Nakat Le Shuka? Look at Rashi. Hachreiz Shalo Yimkar Ish Be'ir Grogros Elohu. So make an announcement that the only person allowed to sell grogros in that city is this Talmud Chacham, is Rav Dimi. So you see, it says Ramah, there's a din over here that you're supposed to give priority in commerce to Talmud Chacham. So if a Talmud Chacham is selling a certain ware, then you should buy from him and not buy from everyone else, and you have the right to give him an exclusive in order to support this Talmud Chacham. don't tell me the mission avos that you shouldn't make Torah karden lachrabo. So why should you benefit financially from the fact that you're a Talmid Chacham? So he says that doesn't apply to this kind of situation. This is analogous. He quotes the Rambam Peshe Mishnayser. This is analogous to the whole institution of Truma. There are certain financial incentives that were instituted to support Kohanim and Leviim. So there are also financial incentives that are instituted to support Talmid Chachamim. So they should be able to be Osik B'Torah. So because the Maharam Padua was a prominent Talmid Chacham of the generation, so we have the right to decide that only he can sell the Rambam and no one else can compete until he sells out his entire stock. Then he has a related point. He says even if it wouldn't have been a Talmid Chacham, but he's a Jew, and the other competitor didn't have a Jewish partner. He was selling on his own, the other non-Jewish printer. So he points out there's a Toras Kohanim, the end of Sefer Vayikra, the Chisim Karumim Karla Misacha O Kanomi Ad Misacha. Limda Torah in Basa Liknos Kanemi Ad Misacha. The Torah tells us, says the Toras Kohanim, that the preference is to buy from another Jew as opposed to a Jew. So here, if I have the Maharam Padua selling Rambams and some other non-Jew selling Rambams, buy from the Maharam Padua. And don't tell me that that din is only when they're all for the same price, but if the guy is offering a better deal, then you're allowed to buy from the Nachri. He says that's not true. How do we know it's not true? Because the Gemara has a din of... We have a few rayas. One of the rayas is the din of Ger bin Asina l'Nachri bin Mechira by an Avela. You either give it as a present to a Ger Tosha or you sell it to a Nachri. And the Gemara there indicates, the way Tosha explains, the Gemara there indicates that the preference is to give it to a Ger Tosha bin Asina rather than a Nachri bin Mechira. So apparently, even though you're going to lose money because I could sell it to the Nachri for profit or I could give it to the Ger Tosha as a present, better to give it to the Ger Tosha as a present rather than sell it to the Nachri. So you see from there that even if you're going to spend more money buying from the Jew, better to buy from the Jew. Parenthetically, there's a tshuva of the Minchas Yitzchak, which you have at the end of the Maamar Kamos. Jews Minchas Yitzchak Chela Gimel Simen Kuf Kavtes. So Minchas Yitzchak was asked, Ayin Weiss was asked the following Shaila, Dateline Manchester, Shushan Purim, 1959. But this is a serious Shaila. V'davar shelefnei eza chadashim nitach b'shchunasa chanut gadol echad, me'osam shenikri b'loshin anglit ha'miduberet b'shem chain store. So there's a new chain store that opened up in town, and they're putting all the local groceries out of business. The groceries are owned by Frum Jews, and the chain store is a chain store. It's owned by Nachrim, even if there's a minority Jewish partner, but it's fundamentally owned by Nachrim. So are you allowed to buy for the chain store at the expense of the Jewish local grocery stores? So in his analysis, he points out, number one, it is true that there's this Toras Kohanim that the Rama quotes, but curiously, the Toras Kohanim is not quoted l'alacha, not in the Rambam, not in Shulchan Aruch, so it's not 100% clear whether we assume like that l'alacha. Even if you assume like that l'alacha, he says it's not necessarily clear whether the Ramah's argument that even if the non-Jew is selling for cheaper, that you still have to support the Jew is correct. He says his whole raya from Ger Nesina L'nachri b'mechira may not be the most compelling raya, because there we're talking about an avail is something of very limited value. You're not going to get so much money for it. But maybe there's a bigger difference in price, then you would be allowed to buy from the Nachri at the expense of the Yisrael. So he's not sure about the exact parameters of when, if there's a difference in price, you should still support the Yisrael. He assumes that where there's a Hefsin Meruba, you definitely have grounds to buy from the Nachri, but it's not clear where the Shear is. He quotes the Darkei Tshuva in Hilchos Ribbis, Yaradei Simen Kuf Nentes of Katan Zayin, that even though there's a din that it's preferable to lend money to a Jew shelo beribis over a nachri beribis. So you're losing money, you could get the interest on the nachri. But the Dark Yeshiva Kohen Zachon would say that's only if the difference is a value is less than Shavu Pruta. But if you're going to make significant interest, so then you have the right to get interest from the nachri rather than lending to the Jew. So if it's a minimal difference, you should continue to support the Jewish proprietor. If it's a more significant difference, so then he said a strong argument can be made that you're allowed to buy in the chain store. Parenthetically, Rav Asher Weiss has a tshuva chelak aleph minchas Asher simen kuf aleph. In the context of the Yoril Sachem Nasa Shachadero question, or the colloquial Asagas Gvol, do the owners of the small groceries have a right to bring the bigger conglomerate, or the chain store, the bigger all-purpose buy-everything store to a Din Torah, but Yoril Sachem Nasa Shachadero issues, or Yor Posek Nasa Shachadero issues, that if totally putting them out of business? So he says that's called progress. That if you're going to tell me that you can't open a big store because of local groceries, then you wouldn't be able to manufacture cars because it put the wagon drivers out of business, and you couldn't sell computers because it put the stenographers out of business. So at a certain point, society moves on, and it's not an argument to be held back by that. Just to conclude, the fourth argument of the Ramah to explain his defense of his cousin, which Rav Schechter, when he talks about this, finds to be the most curious, is that you're not allowed to have a sefer she'eino muga in your possession. So the Gemara says that you can't own a sefer Torah among Subas, you're not allowed to own a sefer Torah that has mistakes. So before the Maharam Padua made his emendations, there are mistakes in the Rambam. So now he's selling a corrected Rambam, and the other guy didn't have the corrections. So to buy the other guy's version of the Rambam is a violation of having a sefer she'eino muga. Which Rav Schechter points out is a little bit curious. He says that most people don't realize what the emendations of Maharam Padua are. So in the regular Tzfus Rambam, you still have them in the not in the Frankel. In the Frankel is probably buried somewhere, but in the old Tzfus Rambam, sometimes you have a marginal note right under the text of the Rambam before the Nosa Galim, which are the Agos of the Maharam Padua. So fundamentally, what the Ramah's basic argument was, in this situation, not a matter of copyright law because there's no copyright, not a matter of intellectual property, it wasn't issued an intellectual property, that's something else that we should discuss maybe at a later date, but it sounds like more of a two levels. Number one, a takana sakal, which the Chassid Sofer elaborates on, that there is a klal interest in having these svarim published, and we have to protect the publishers to make sure that they're going to publish more svarim, which is the Chassid Sofer's elaboration, and the defense of the Maharam Padua as far as the investments that he put in, both as a Talmid Chacham and even not as a Talmid Chacham as a Jew, where we should give precedence to such people in our commercial activity.
How can you trust the Gaisha publisher to publish it correctly or accurately or not putting mistakes or actually not, it's not just Mugum, but just an actual mistake?
So I think he probably used the same text and the same typeset.
Aspects of the Ramah's tshuva to the Slavuta printing press to do, because they also had a competitor, but both owners were Yidden.
Right. So arguments 2 and 3 don't apply.
Right.
Argument 4 presumably doesn't apply. And argument 1, you'd have to analyze, that's essentially where that whole pulmus boiled down to, what were the rights of the first publishers, and what the Ramah is basically beginning of a phenomena that existed for centuries of a what morphed into Haskama initially, Haskama for Sefer initially was a Cherem that no one is allowed to republish the same Sefer for a certain amount of time in order to let the publisher recoup their investment on the Sefer. So that's what the Chassid Sofer argues. This really started with the Ramah in this Tshuva, something that existed in practice for centuries of having these charamim associated with the printing of Sfarim that no one else is allowed to reprint until the first edition was sold out.
So the Ramah, and I guess, we, by extension, so we're taking the, we're understanding the Ramban very literally. When he says, the Indian Yiddish and Sabi Yisrael, it literally means that they have a Kosher Mishra.
Yes.
But
I mean, the Rama is not saying that in the Ramban. He's saying that in the Yitzchak.
Right.
But many Achronim say that in the Ramban. Right.
And therefore there is some fault on the part of this non-Jewish publisher himself.
Correct.
He himself is not acting in accordance with
the... Right, they're not saying, Yasher Chaylenu, if we had the ability to be kofa, then we'd have the right to do that. Just we can't.
Because he himself is in violation.
Yeah, correct.
That's
a whole different perspective in your profession.
Yeah, you get the impression of this Ramban, right? Well, I mean, the fact that the Ramban first of all puts the Ladin over here.